Scriptures tonight. We're going to have some fun. We're going to need to do some Bible study tonight. We're going to look at some things. Teenagers, grab you a Bible. Grab you a Bible. Grab you a Bible. Grab you a Bible. Amen. I love it. Grab you a Bible. I'm going to get right up here where I can spit on the front row. That's why she's moving over. Do you see that? She knows where the second blessing happens right here. I get to talking so fast, my tongue gets around my eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm doing. Oh, sorry. Sorry, sister. That's all right. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to talk to you about purity tonight. I want to talk to you about purity. Several decades ago, there was a movement among churches called True Love Waits. And as much as I appreciate that sentimentality, you know, because true love does wait, as we'll see in just a little bit. It's lust that has no patience. It's love that has patience. I want you to see that there's more to purity in the life of a Christian than sexual purity. We're going to look at a lot of different things. You know, there's mind, there's body, soul, spirit. Yes, there's emotional purity. There's sexual purity, things of that nature. So let's start off. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And verse number 8. We're going to read a few scriptures tonight. These are not in my notes. I'm kind of freestyling here for a minute. These are things that Phil did not get, so don't blame Phil for it. It was me, kind of last minute. The Holy Spirit told me to get on board with him and use some of the scriptures I'd forgotten. So look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. If you found it, say amen. Let's say it together, please, all of us. Here we go. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We talked about this morning. We talked about the fact that it took 3 days for Saul to get right with God. It took 3 days for Saul to get clean. It took 3 days of prayer, fasting, confession, repentance, and affirmation of God to be clean, to be saved, to get that. Why? It's not a process. It's the fact that he had so many sins on his heart. He was just humbled and crushed and broken. And quite honestly, I'm always suspect of a profession of faith that didn't have brokenness in some way involved. I get concerned about that because it's easy believism to just say, well, I'll pray some prayer and I'll be saved. You know, I'll just say some fancy words, some quaint thing on the back of a track. Although there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people been saved by reading a track, and I praise God for tracks, and you need to hand them out. They're out on our bulletin board out there. You find the English tracks and the Korean tracks. You need to hand them out. Brother Kim's tracks have English on one side and Korean on the other, so they're awesome. Hand them out. But the thing is, we're not saved because of a prayer. We're saved by the blood. We're saved by the blood. And when we're saved, the pure in heart will see God. Look at James 4:8. James 4:8. Now that's in the back of the Bible. It's after Hebrews. Sometimes it's easier to find Hebrews and then turn a few pages toward the back and look at James chapter 4. And verse number 8, James 4:8. Now remember, we're talking about purity. I'll give you the Webster's definition of it in just a second. James 4 and verse 8, it says, let's read it together. Did you find it? Say amen. Let's read it together, please. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He's talking about purity in a Christian. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. It's toward the back of the book, a couple of pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at it. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. If you found it, say amen. Let's read it together. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Interesting how purity brings love for others. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. That's in the back of the book, 1 John chapter 3. And verse 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. I want you to read that with me together. Did you find it? Say amen. All right, let's read it. Everybody now, that was kind of a weak amen. Sarah, did you find it? Rachel, did you find it? Amen. Okay, all right. I know they're always, I can call on them because I know they're always paying attention. First John 3:3, everybody together. You ready, Brother Daniel? You ready? All right, here we go. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, and we ask, Father, diligently tonight that you would speak to us about this matter of purity. Father, that you would speak, and God, that you would convict, and God, that you would help us. We desire to be pure. We desire to be right with you. We desire, God, to be usable. Make us usable, and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Purity is defined in Webster's dictionary. Now, the oldest dictionary that we've got like a full copy of, or at least that I'm told of, is the facsimile copy of the 1828 Noel Webster's. I have one on my shelf. You can still buy it, but the truth is it's free. Just go out to Webster's1828dictionary.com, and you can feed in any Bible word, and it will tell you any word you want that's in that dictionary, and he'll quote the King James for usage. That's why I love that dictionary. So the word purity in Webster's means freedom from guilt or defilement of sin, as purity of heart. Chastity, that's a word nobody uses. Freedom from contamination by illicit sexual connection. Freedom from any sinister or improper views, as purity of motives and designs. So what did we see right here? In just these three definitions, you saw him referring to the purity of heart, the purity of body, sexual sin, and then purity of motives and designs, that mental purity. There's more to it. There's more to purity than just true love waits. There's more to purity than just sexual purity. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, why don't you turn over there? Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 is a very familiar portion of Scripture. But the consequences of being impure is the fact that God does not hear our prayers. That is why it's more than just, well, I'm abstaining sexually, Lord. I'm committing sexual sin. Great. But are you emotionally pure? Are you spiritually pure? Are you physically pure from other things than just sex? Are you your purity? Are you pure in heart, pure in motive? Because if you're pure in heart, you're not bitter. If you're pure in heart, you're not. You don't have a problem with forgiving. We read one of those verses there that said that because we're pure in heart, we have unfeigned love toward the brethren. We have true love toward the brethren rather than fake love toward the brethren. Look at Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Following. Alvin, you got it up, my brother? All right, let's read it together, please. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I want you to see something really quickly. The word iniquity talks about sin in your heart. Sin that is yet to be manifested in your mouth, hands, and feet. You understand? It's in your heart. It is yet to be manifested physically outward. So, but your inward sins, those images, those things in your mind, those things in your heart have separated between you and your God as if it's cut off the vocal or the communication. And your sins, these are the ones you've done, these transgressions, these trespasses, have hid his face from you as if God went, oh, I cannot look at that. I cannot see that. And he will not hear. He will not hear. Purity is important to the believer. You think to yourself, well, I was impure before I was saved. That is true. But now that we are saved, being usable, being glorifying to God, being able for him to glorify himself in us, him being able to bless us, him looking upon us with favor, is dependent upon our purity. Not just sexual purity, but mental and emotional purity. I was talking with a young man today, and I said to him, I said, you know, when you're going for a job, you realize that, you know, your education matters and your experience matters when you're competing for jobs. So get all the education you can, get all the experience you can, but do you know what separates a faithful Christian from a lost person who are equally qualified for a job? The favor of God. The blessing and favor of God. Do you understand what I'm saying, Miss Grace? If you are just as equally qualified as somebody you're competing for a job with, what separates you from them? The favor of God. If you're faithful, if you're walking faithfully, if you're submitted to Him, He may choose to shower you with favor in the sight of man. That's what it says in Joshua 1:8, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have, then shalt make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's another one that talks about having favor with God and man in Proverbs 3. And the truth is, what separates a child of God from a lost person, a child of God who's walking in purity from a lost person who's equally qualified, is the favor of God. Is God saying to the heart of even that lost person, hey, you need to hire them. You need to show them favor. That's what favor is. Today we got to eat lunch with these three precious little girls, and you can't help but look down in their face, and in your heart wells up this feeling of joy. When you look down those little precious eyes and you're talking to them, your heart fills with this feeling, and that feeling is favor. When a little baby goes like this, can I climb up in your lap? And your heart just swells. With what? It swells with favor. That's the difference. So for a Christian, purity is very, very important because it is what allows us to be usable by God, to be the object of His favor, to be under the spout where the blessings come out is for us to walk in purity with our God. So let's talk about mental purity. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Lamentations. We are now studying the book of Jeremiah, who also wrote Lamentations. It's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3 in verse 51. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. But you need to have mental purity. Mental purity. Look at Lamentations 3 and verse 51, please. We're going to read this out loud. This is very important. Very important. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. Have you found it? Say amen. All right, let's read it together, please. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. That first phrase, my eye affecteth my heart. Listen to me. What goes in your eyes and ears sink down into your heart. The eyes and the ears are the gateway to the heart. Now, all sin starts right here. All sin starts in our heart. You know, you're driving. I was down in Dallas flying back from the ABA, and there was this huge billboard. It was probably 20 feet by 40. It was the biggest billboard I ever saw, and it was for Hooters. And can you imagine what was on it? It wasn't an owl. Okay? You know, and maybe you've heard me say this, but you're driving, you're like, what? You know what I mean? The first look isn't sin. It's the second when you muse upon it. Because what went in your eyes sunk down into your heart, and then will eventually come out your hands, your feet, and your mouth. All sin starts right here. What is in your heart comes out your hands and your feet. Jesus said, out of the mouth the heart speaketh. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of a man that defileth a man, because it is coming from the heart. So how do you protect your heart? By guarding what goes in your eyes. And what goes in your ears. If you're a mother of a boy, I want you to understand that you have absolutely no concept to the terrible nature and destructive nature of pornography has on your boy. Because it doesn't affect you like it affects us. Every piece of porn I've ever seen is still stuck in my head. Like a file cabinet. And I can go back to it. If your husband will be honest with you, he'll tell you the same thing too. Used to be, I'd tell moms and dads, this is 20 years ago, I'd tell moms, don't leave your JCPenney catalog laying around. Why? Because you'll find your boys looking at the brassieres and underwear section. Well, now they don't. It doesn't matter. They got a computer. They got a tablet. They got a phone, and it's easy to find. Well, I've got whatever. If he can get to Google, he can get to it. He knows it. He just hadn't told you. What goes in the eyes and the ears sinks down into the heart and will eventually manifest itself in the hands and the feet, in what they do and where they go. So mental purity is so important. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. I wanted to tell you about something that happens. Ezekiel. The word iniquity is the sin that happens in our heart, our mind, what we're thinking about, musing upon, that has yet to come out our hands and our feet. You may not see it physically manifested in the life of your children or maybe in the life of your spouse, but it goes on in their mind. Look at Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. I want you to just follow along with me and read along with me. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. That's that television screen between your husband's ears. That's what goes on in your boy and your girl. That's what goes on in our minds. You girls have it too. The things you think about, the fantasies, the things that we allow ourselves to think on, the chambers of our imagery. Now, you have to replace garbage with good stuff. How do you be mentally pure? You got to stop putting the bad in and start putting the good in. The movies you watch, the music you listen to, the things you think about. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Do you realize just because the person sitting next to you cannot read your mind and you praise God they cannot read your mind, God, however, does. Not just can, he does. It's called iniquity. It is sin that is yet to be manifested outwardly but is still inside our heart and our mind, in the chambers of our imagery, in that movie house in our head where we replay things or we make up things. I'm talking about mental purity. We have to take charge and choose what we think about. When people come to me for counseling, one of the things I always ask them, especially if it's depression or discouraged or whatever, but even if it's marital counseling or just whatever, I ask. If you've ever sat in one of my counseling sessions, I've asked, what music are you listening to? What movies are you watching? What are you putting in your mind? What are you putting in there? Garbage in, garbage out. We've all heard that from the old computer days. Remember, Brother Day? Garbage in, garbage out. Well, take your Bible, look at Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, are the things, the last phrase, think on these things as a command, okay? So what are we thinking on? We're supposed to be thinking on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. We need to be thinking about those things, things that are pure. We're to be thinking about things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Young ladies, listen to me for just a second. I'm so thankful for the godly girls we got in our church. Fabulous girls that are part of our youth department. I'm thankful for them. I'm here to tell you, you do not think like boys think. You don't think like boys think. If you knew how boys think, you wouldn't sit next to them. You'd punch them in the mouth. You really would? Because boys are visual creatures, visual animals. So when we talk about dressing modestly, long lots and loose, it's not because we don't want you to be fashionable and look nice. It's because it keeps the boys' brains out of the gutter. Okay, nobody else wants to talk truth tonight. I'll talk truth tonight. Help me out, guys. Help me out. Pay attention to what goes in. You want to know why this happens to Christian men and Christian women, why they go crazy, get into sin? Because what went in their eyes and ears did not get guarded. Solomon said to his son, my son, give me thine heart. Let me have your heart. Let's be emotionally pure. Let's be mentally pure. Because what goes in our minds, what goes in our eyes and ears, it goes down into our hearts and festers like filth and comes out our hands and our feet and our mouth. There's a reason why I don't listen to country and Western music. Because it makes me think of the girl at the office. Nobody else going to talk truth to you tonight? You in a Baptist church? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Well, there's no such thing as amoral music. Neutral. If it stirs the flesh, am I lying? What is it you want your husband thinking about? What is it you want your wife thinking about? My brothers and sisters, if you want the blessings of God in your life, if you want the favor of God in your life, we have to be pure. Not to please the preacher, not to please the deacon or the trustees, not to please the brethren in the ABA, but to please Almighty God. It's not just sexual purity. Nobody just jumped straight into sin. Well, I fell into sin. No, you didn't. You looked at it, and then you thought about it, and then you coveted it, and then you acted upon it. And it all could have been stopped at the door of our soul, at the eyes. If we could have just, at that moment, whoa, that's not what I need to be thinking on, and cast it aside. Whoa, that's not what I need to be thinking on. That's mental purity. We need to be thinking about it. We also need to have emotional purity. Some of the emotions we feel are lust, passions, disrespect. And that's why Solomon said in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart." Our hearts were made to give away. It's true. You're expect to grow up, and when you meet the person God has for you, you're to give them your heart. You're to give it away. It was made to give away. But right now, until you, teenagers, until you leave your home, until you find the person God has for you, you need to go to sleep in that area of your life like Adam did, until God brings you your bride or your husband. You're to go to sleep in that area and not give your heart away. That's emotional purity. An emotional relationship has nothing to do necessarily with physical sex, but it's two hearts coming together, filling, you know, giving each other emotions that cannot be righteously fulfilled outside of the bonds of marriage. And it's still sin. It's still sin. In Proverbs 23 and verse 27, look at it now. To go to Proverbs 23. We're going to talk about a word that you probably didn't use this week. Take your Bibles over there. Wilhelm, pull over there to Proverbs 23 for me, buddy. Proverbs 23 and verse 27. Follow along. We want to be people that God can bless. We want to be people who God can show favor to. We want to be people who God can glorify himself in. God will not use a dirty vessel. I was over at Kathy and Kenny Dunbar's house a couple of decades ago having coffee. That's kind of back then. See, my preacher got me hooked on coffee. I'm sorry, sister. It's just the way he is. It's just Brother Mitchell would do that. He'd invite me over to his office, and he'd already have a cup of coffee waiting for me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'd drink it, you know. And then he'd invite me out for breakfast. And that's how he discipled me. But he always would order. He'd get there before me and order coffee. And I think it was just to satisfy his vice, you know, that misery loves company. And I became a coffeeaholic. So I was over at the Dunbar house, and they gave me this cup this said for my best friend on it. And I'm like, oh, that's really sweet. And I was drinking that coffee, and I got all the way to the bottom of the coffee cup, and I went like this, and there was a roach in the bottom of it. It was part of the ceramic, but at that moment I thought, whoop, oh, ah, ah. You don't like eating out of dirty vessels. You don't like, whatever. You ever put on a shirt and realize it didn't make it in the wash and somehow got back into your drawer, and you're like, wow. It's kind of baked in, you know? Missed the wash and made it in the dryer. I don't know. Sometimes you drop things on the floor and you think it was in the washer. But anyhow, nobody likes a dirty vessel. Nobody likes a dirty set of clothes. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. He does not like living in a dirty house. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. Give it to me. Give it to your parents. Give it to your Savior. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Four, why? Because a whore is a deep ditch. A whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey. That means she is seeking something. Do you realize, gentlemen, you young teenage boys, when you get to school and that hairy-legged, bow-legged girl that you just kind of go all mushy over, your hands go wet, your mouth goes dry, your knees go weak, and you're just like, do you realize that there is nothing you can actually do for her? You have no way to take care of her. She has no way to meet your needs either. But she'll use you for self-esteem. She will use, and girls, the boys do it too. They have no way to take care of you. They have no way to righteously fulfill the promises or whatever they're making. But they'll use you as a self-esteem boost for themselves, like snorting coke. There's like, oh, I'm around this girl. Everybody thinks I'm smart because I have a girl. Everybody thinks I'm good looking because I have a girlfriend. Or everybody thinks I'm popular because I have a boyfriend. And they're just using you. That's why it says a whore is a deep ditch. She's looking to get what she can get out of this man, this young man. You think, well, that's sexual purity. No, they do it for emotional purity because it makes them feel better about themselves. That's why I say go to sleep in that area, teenager. You're not ready for it yet. Not that you won't ever be. Just you're not ready for it yet. One of the things I used to say to my boys was, listen, what are you going to do with her once you catch her? It's kind of like aliens. People go out looking for aliens or people go out chasing tornadoes. What are you going to do when you catch one? You know, what are you going to do when you catch that alien? What are you going to do when you catch that tornado? Oh, I hadn't really thought of that. What are you going to do when you get her? What if she says yes and she's your girlfriend now? What are you going to do with her? You really going to? I can just see the little wheels turning in their head. You know what I mean? Do I actually get honest with my dad or do I, you know, get real with him? Or what are you going to do with her? What right and righteous thing are you going to do with her? That includes us adults going to lunch with somebody who's not her wife or not her husband. What right and righteous thing are you doing that can't be done in a group? Let's take the whole cubicle, not just you, not just her, not just him. We're talking about emotional and mental purity. God sees. Nobody else does but you and the Lord. And sometimes we forget the Lord actually sees. And we wonder, why aren't our prayers getting answered? Why does it feel like we've stepped out from underneath God's umbrella of protection and out from underneath God's spout of blessing? And it's because what's going on in here and in here and that nobody else sees, but God sees. And he doesn't bless. So let's talk about sexual purity. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to see this now. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. All you teenagers, do that now. All you adults, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Now, the word charity is not what it means today. Charity today means to take pity on somebody. In Old English, 1611 English, the word charity meant love that motivates me to act selflessly. Love that has no strings. Love that has no performance review. Love that is completely selfless. I'm doing it solely for the blessing of the other person. That doesn't happen very often, does it? The closest I think sometimes we get is when we're caring for a sick child. You know, that sick child can't do anything for us, but we love them, and we'll stay up all night taking care of them because we love them. And they can't do anything for us. But having that child has so profoundly changed me, I'll do anything for that child. That's selfless love. That's probably as close to love like God loves us as we as humans can get sometimes. But look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It means patient. Love is patient. Lust is not patient. Lust is right now. I want it now. One of the questions, I sat on a panel for the prayer advance for the college kids. And I was asked to define this. You know, why? What do we do? We were talking about this. There's five of us up there, and Brother Will talked mostly about it. But then I got a chance to speak. The truth is they were at, you know, these people were asking, well, I've got a person in my life, and they say they're a Christian, but they want to get physical in our relationship, like right now. What do I do? I believe they're a Christian. I believe there's a future here, but they want it physical right now. Let me tell you something. Love is patient. That's what true love means. True love waits means that it's patient. But lust is not patient. So girls, if you have a boy pressuring you to get physical, it's not because they love you. It's because they lust after you. It's lust. Lust is impatient. Lust is not long-suffering. Lust is not kind. Lust is not selfless. Lust is immediate. Now, gotta have it. So sexual purity, definitely. And then it says in verse number 4, let me find it again. Charity suffereth long as kind. Charity envieth not. It's not desirous of others. It vaunteth not itself. It doesn't put him, love doesn't, a person who's actually in love with you doesn't put themselves first. They put you first. Is not puffed up. They're not touchy. They're not easily offended. Doth not behave itself unseemly, knows what's right and does right rather than knows what's wrong and does it anyway. Seeketh not her own. It's not looking to fulfill its own desires. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. That's sexual purity. Recognizing that the other person just wants what they want. They call it love. You know, it's not really until I'd been married about 10 years that I started to understand what real love is. I wasn't saved when we got married, so definitely didn't understand it. And then after I'd walked with God for about 7 years, things started to click. Things started to make sense. But after I'd been married about 10 years, it just kind of dawned on me that I loved her more at that moment than I did when I married her. Now, I've been married 29 years, and I love her more today than I did the day I married her. I'll joke about it and say we got married young for no reason. We just got married for no reason. We were just in love. We didn't know what love was. We know what we're getting to understand it now. So physical purity, sexual, mental purity, emotional purity, sexual purity, physical purity. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We talked about a dirty vessel a minute ago. God wants a clean vessel. He's living inside you. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. He goes where you go. He sees what you see. He listens to what you listen to. He partakes of what you partake of. You know, we have this big deal about smoking in a car. Secondhand smoke's now child abuse. Well, how about Holy Spirit abuse? He has to breathe that mess in because he's inside you. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 in verse number 16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's how he sees everything. He hears everything. If any man defile the temple of God, talking about your body, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. This, what you put in this body, is it pure? Is this body pure? Or do we defile it? Now we're talking about drugs and drinking and smoking and tobacco and just all things like that. What are we putting in here? What are we putting in here? What goes in here? We talked about what goes in your eyes and your ears sinks down in your heart. What goes in your... What are you putting in your body that the Holy Spirit has to walk around in? That's physical purity. And let's talk about spiritual purity. In Psalms 19 and verse 8, the Bible says, the statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Spiritual purity is talking about our mind, our will, emotions lining up with God's word. So we have mental purity, we have emotional purity, we have physical purity, sexual purity, spiritual purity. Why is this a big deal? Take your Bible, go to Psalms 24. I'm glad you asked. Look at Psalms chapter 24. Why is it important? Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. You've all heard of Psalm 23, but Psalm 22 and 24 are awesome. than just like Psalm 23. But it's probably not on a plaque at your house. Probably wasn't counter cross-stitched on a pillow. But Psalm 24 is awesome. Psalm 24 and verse 3, the Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who's going to stand? Who gets to stand in the presence of God and commune with Almighty God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Do you understand? There is purity preserves our fellowship with God. It keeps us at one with our Lord. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, that old hymn says. Nothing between. It preserves purity. You mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, and spiritually pure preserves your fellowship with God. It's also a command. In Leviticus 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1:15 quotes that and says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It preserves your fellowship with God when you're pure. It also prepares you for his service. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. God wants to use you. One of the most crazy things that drives me crazy is whenever I have to do a home project, after my boys have used my tools, I have to go in and fix my tools, and then I can use them. You ever have that, Brother Walker? You ever do that? Somebody borrows your stuff? I'm sure if you've ever loaned your stuff, you have to go find out and your batteries are dead and you can't find the bits to go in your drill. And you kind of got to clean up your workshop and then you got to fix your tools and then you can use your tools. You ever do that? Last project I had, I get the WD-40 out. After I found my tools, which were all outside in the rain, I had to clean them up and then I had to WD-40 them and then I could use them. Being pure not only preserves your fellowship with God, it prepares you for his service. Look at 2 Timothy 2:21. The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself of these things, purge means to get them out of your life, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means separated to God, and meet or ready or prepared or can meet the task for the master's use and prepared under every good work. So purity, mental, emotional, physical, sexual, all of that preserves our fellowship with him and makes us prepared to be used of him at any given moment. Yes, purity not only preserves our fellowship and prepares us for use, it also protects us physically. Yes, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know what's crazy? God hates hidden sin. He doesn't like it. The more you try to hide it, the more he's going to bring it out. Numbers 32, 23, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So it protects us physically, but it also protects us mentally. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, 15, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You are influenced by what you see. You are influenced by what you hear. So when we're pure, when we're right with God. Now, how do I do that? Well, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I say, listen, every day keep short accounts with God. Don't wait till you get home and say, well, I'll get right with God after 9 o'clock after I have prayer time, after everybody's in bed. No. Stop where you are right now and get right with God. Keep short accounts with God. Don't wait. You'll forget. The devil will distract you, whatever, and you stay in a position or in a condition where God cannot bless you or use you. It benefits the devil if you cannot be used. It benefits the devil if you're not right with the Lord. So keep short accounts with God. Be pure. It preserves your fellowship with God, and it also prepares you to be used at any given moment, and it protects you. It protects you physically, it protects you mentally, but it also protects us emotionally. See, the devil wants you. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to be bound up with shame. He doesn't want you to know that you can be right with the Lord at any given moment if you will truly repent, not just, I'm sorry I got caught, but if you will actually turn from your sin, admit that it's sin, and actually turn from it and forsake it. At Prayer Advance last year, Dave Young told the story about his son and how that he had gotten a laptop to do his college work on. And his son had clicked on a pop-up and it took him to a porn site. And his son took the computer outside and took a sledgehammer to it, broke that laptop into pieces and brought him to his dad. And of course, his dad's like, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you did it. But you could have gave it just back to me. I did pay $1,500 for it. But the truth is, that boy did not want to be in a position where God couldn't bless him. So if your hand or your foot or your eye offend thee, pluck it out or cut it off and cast it from thee. Radical amputation. Take the things out of your life. We all lived without cell phones for millennia. We all lived without the internet for millennia. We'll all be okay if you can't. Listen, it's better to be right with the Lord, to be in fellowship and usable, than it is to have the convenience of it all. But remember, the devil wants you bound up with shame. He doesn't want you to know that you can be right with the Lord immediately. Because the longer you feel guilt, the longer you're in a position where you're not able to be blessed, he wins. Because your influence as a Christian cannot be brought to bear against his kingdom. The purpose of purity is to keep you right with the Lord and usable in his kingdom. So let me ask you. As I mentioned this morning, it took Saul 3 days to get right with the Lord, to confess, to fast, to pray, to repent, to bring it up, and to affirm that Christ is Lord. And he really is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. It took him 3 days. How long has it been since you and I were clean with the Lord? Clean, pure, where there was nothing between he and I that would block our fellowship or block his ability to bless, to favor, to use. The only thing that stands in the way is our pride, because it's our pride that says, I don't want to confess that, or I'm not ready to give that up yet. It's our pride that keeps us unusable and out of fellowship. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, tonight I am thankful for your brother, my brothers and sisters that have come. I'm thankful for their attention and their attentiveness. And Father, tonight as we've talked about uncomfortable things, I pray, Father, that you would speak to each of us. And Father, that you would remind us of things that keep us from fellowship and favor with you. And Father, tonight, you would do the work, Holy Spirit, that you know needs to be done. We know we wound you with our sin. We know it grieves you, and it causes you to pull back, and we're sorry. Speak to our hearts now in the next few moments. With every head bowed and every eye closed, won't you just for a second ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something? See if there's anything in your heart that needs to be dealt with. Maybe it's not manifested itself outwardly yet, but it's there. Won't you just lay down our pride for just a second? Just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something keeping you from being able to bless me? Now, whatever was brought up, whether it's anger or bitterness or rebellion against authority or whatever, sexual sin, impure thoughts, porn, it doesn't have to be. It could be anger, it could be unforgiveness, whatever it is. Won't you just confess it right now in prayer and forsake it and ask forgiveness?
Now, Father, as we go from this place tonight, I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts through our daily devotions. And God, that you would not allow us to go throughout our day without thinking of you, without contemplating your word. Father, that you would not allow us to stray, God, but you would remind us. And God, that if we do, it's because we've done it having heard your voice in our head shouting, no, don't, and stop. And Father, we'll praise you for the work you do in us and through us. And we want to be usable. We want to be used. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.